This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, here we go. Hump Day. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And in about 10 minutes, we got Matt Miller going to join us to talk a little NFL draft, because we've got to get into one particular player that is flying up the boards that we got to get some info on. But Bart, before we do that, how about we get, as we get into Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, let's get back into the quarterback carousel. Let's jump back on this thing, because obviously the news keeps coming. Let's just remind everybody of the latest. You have three huge names that we're still figuring out what's going to happen with them with their futures. Dak Prescott being one of them, as the almost $38 million franchise tag that the Cowboys would have to put on him by the ninth. That awaits, and we'll see if anything works out there. Deshaun Watson stays dug in, refusing, you know, to say, I'm not showing up. And if he does, it's going to cost him a lot of money. You know, $20 million if he doesn't play. And then Russell Wilson, who's not asking for a trade, but he'd be open to one. he has some teams on the list. So we're there right now. And I think that the first question I have for you is a simple one, is if you're Dak Prescott, honestly, as we're all kicking around different ideas and different things that could happen and what it'll take, should he even sign a contract at this point? Shouldn't he just let the money just keep escalating and then have control of his future by getting into free agency?
Listen, if
you got it.
If Dallas wanted to sign him, they should have recognized that he was a better player before they signed Ezekiel Elliott. So at this point, everything that happens to Dallas is their fault. They decided to go with the Cabo running back, who was the squeaky wheel, instead of taking care of their franchise quarterback. You want to know why you don't do that? Because you don't believe that he's a franchise quarterback. You think he's very good, but you don't think he's a top five quarterback. Because if you have a top five quarterback, you lock him up. And, you know, we watched this happen with Kirk Cousins. They're treating him as if he is Kirk Cousins, especially when he's a quarterback that you had under contract the first 5 years of his career. He made underneath $5 million. So he was a discount. So if you would have threw some money in his face, you used to make a $950,000. You got guys running out on kickoff. You got backups making more money for you. And did Dak really be a squeaky wheel? No, he waited his turn. He's like, I waited my turn. You guys got cheap labor. I exceeded my expectations. When a guy comes in, you draft him fourth round, you expect him to hold a clipboard. You expect him to be good, to come in and maybe help you out every once in a while in a pinch. You expect him to be the guy coming out of the bullpen when the starter is either hurt, having a bad game, or, you know, it's cleanup time. So the fact that Dak Prescott is even in this situation means that you have to pay more. Because guess what? You had me for cheap labor. You sold everything. You saw me play. Last year I was playing at an all-pro level. Mm-hmm. I was playing at a level that I new coach, new system. You got me weapons. I was throwing for 500 yards a game, and I showed, you know, my worth not by playing, by being hurt and looking at what big of a fall off it is when you put my backup in a guy like Andy Dalton, who's not some scrub. He's not, like, you would consider Andy Dalton one of the best backups in the game. He's a guy that led his team himself to the playoffs 5 straight years in a row. So that's the difference between me and the next guy that you're going to have if you decide to let me hit free agency. So at this point, you have to overpay just to make up for the money that you didn't give me the first 5 years. Like I said before, even when he gets $37 million, when you average that out, that's going to average out his career only to $12 million a year. That is a discount. So, yeah, why, if I'm Dak Prescott, why am I going to bid against myself? Why am I going to do you guys a favor when you guys didn't do me a favor? And I'm going to put it up there, because guess what? At some point, you're going to have to make that decision. Because guess what? If you don't get me signed long term, either you're going to franchise tag me. If you franchise me 3 straight years, that's $54 million. So that's $110 million in 3 years. And I'm still going to get a super contract where I have like a $40 million signing bonus. So do it that way. I'm going to be Kirk Cousins 2.0. And we'll figure this thing out. And if you don't figure it out, guess what? There's plenty of guys out there that take me. I guarantee you right now the Saints will take me. I guarantee you right now you look at the San Francisco 49ers, I guarantee you they'll take me. So if you don't want to give me the money, I promise you somebody else will.
I don't think it's not that they don't want to pay him. It's just what they don't want to pay him. I think that's what it is. And I mean, again, Mahomes at $45 million, that's his new money average, right?
Right.
And then you've got Deshaun Watson, who's at about $39 million on that new extension that
he
signed.
So he wants 43
as well. So, well, I was going to ask you, is where would you be then if you're Dak Prescott and where do you think you should put yourself? Because while that's all going on, you know who's gotten real quiet all of a sudden? Aaron Rodgers. Remember when Aaron Rodgers was letting it fly? Like, he was doing a little bit of what Russell Wilson's doing now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I mean, I don't know what my future's going to be. You know, who knows? And then he kind of let it go away.
Yeah.
And you said at the time when Aaron Rodgers did that, that you think this is about just putting enough pressure on Green Bay to say, all right, Aaron, what do you want?
Exactly.
You want us to rip this up and give you an extension? Like, what are you looking for here so we can show you we love you even more? Right? This is that old Extreme song, More Than Words.
Right. And if, he, right? And if he's
don't
quiet.
Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me.
And if he's being quiet, it's because, you know what I'm saying, like, hey, Aaron, let's not make a big spectacle. We can talk about some things behind closed doors. When he's loud, that's how you know nothing's not happening.
Oh.
So now he's quiet. You know that they're having these discussions. And they're saying, listen, give me some more guaranteed money. You know I got at least one or two more years in me. Right. We may not bring back Aaron Jones. Right. That's why we drafted Dylan last year. We have some other pieces there. Give me a little bit of that money. Spend the other half of that Aaron Jones money, or we'll franchise Aaron Jones at $8 million, which is a bargain for what he brings to that team. Toughness in between the tackles, the ability to catch. He's a beast as well. You know, we can franchise tag him, and then we can go out and get me a receiver out. And you know, I don't need a great receiver, right? I take a Corey Davis. I don't need Galladay. I don't need one of these expensive guys. Just give me another guy that's a true number two, because we know we got a number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Aaron Rodgers is being quiet because they're working on something. But you know, no matter what, they're going to have to get rid of him. They're going to have to get rid of him, and he knows that they can't trade him because his cap number is so high. It would be the dumbest thing in the world to trade him, because they'll still have like $24 million of dead cap money sitting on their cap because he's coming off an extension. But the year after that,
right,
no more protection for Aaron. So Aaron's like, yo, I want more protection.
Security.
Or, you know, get me up out of here.
Yeah, so it's the idea of the security factor. So I just thought it was interesting as we were talking about quarterbacks, is how come all of a sudden things got quiet there and you broke it down so perfectly? Probably because he's satisfied with whatever's being said behind closed doors.
R-E-L-A-X.
Absolutely.
Relax.
That is exactly what
I thought he was going to
do
with the discount double check, but never mind.
No. But when, you know, when it comes to quarterbacks, and like I said, Matt Miller is going to join us here in a couple of minutes, and at NFL Draft Scout. And he has joined ESPN as a draft analyst, and there's some interesting stuff that he's got going on when it comes to the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. So you and I discussed something that I thought was kind of fun. When we think about when you draft a quarterback in the top 10, in the top 5, in the top 3, like, if you're drafting that high, like Donnie Walsh used to always say that the NBA lottery, the actual lottery drawing, right, the fans, like, get so excited about the lottery. And I find it hilarious because I remember Donnie Walsh when he was with the Knicks. He said to me one time, I was like, somebody actually asked him, oh, is it exciting? Are you excited to be here? And he goes, no, this is the convention of losers. The whole idea of being here is to never come back again. So in the NFL draft, there's no lottery. But when you're in the top 10, top 5, top 3, the idea is to never be there again. Whoever you draft, make sure you're not there again. So the best 10 quarterbacks of the 21st century, we made the list. It's Brady, Manning, Breeze, Favre, Roethlisberger, Mahomes, Rodgers, Warner, Eli, Matt Ryan. 6 of them out of the 10 were not top 10. 7 were not top 5. 2 were the number 1 pick, and they're both named Manning. So the percentages tell you you're not going to find that guy.
Yep.
So Matt Miller joins us right now, again, ESPN draft analyst, and he joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Matt, first of all, welcome. Thank you for joining us here.
Now show us your work. Show us your homework. We want to see. Show us your work. We don't know what. We don't want the answer. We want to know how the hell you got to the answer.
Well, I don't even want to waste any time. I want to go right to the tweet from the other day, about 2 weeks ago, where you have an NFL college scouting director saying this about Zach Wilson. What he does as a thrower and as a runner is exactly where we are as a league right now. He throws some of those 50-50 balls with his shoulder square to the defense after running around in the pocket. And I'm seeing Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech all over again. And you had in your tweet, Zach Wilson greater than Trevor Lawrence, ?
Oh.
So please explain this to me. What am I not seeing?
Right. Well,
Well, I think, I mean, I'm wondering what I'm not seeing too, because I don't have it. I don't have it graded that way. But
you weren't using the sarcasm font. That's what that was. Because right. That happens on Twitter all the time.
The thing is, guys, there are NFL teams that do have Zach Wilson graded higher than Trevor Lawrence. And for 3 years, we've all been told Trevor Lawrence is the greatest quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning. Maybe he's a combination of the two. And I think what we're seeing now, as we get closer to April 29th, is teams are starting to push back and be like, okay, as you said to me, why? Show us the work. We want to know why, instead of just the fact that he's been anointed since his senior year of high school as the savior of the quarterback position. Tell us why he's this great player. And I think that's where, like, quarterback scouting, guys, it starts January 1st. When GMs, college directors, coaches, when they get done with their NFL season and they start evaluating these quarterbacks, they start going through the tape, that's when you start to hear things like, all right, the media has said Trevor Lawrence is God, play a quarterback, but we don't see it that way. And some of it will be scheme fit. Some of it will be the Jets might be saying, nah, hey, we're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. So we actually think Zach Wilson is as good as him. So there are a lot of different ways you could get to that viewpoint. But I'll tell you, the idea that Trevor Lawrence is this untouchable prospect is not shared in the NFL scouting community among teams. And I think as more information comes out, we're going to see people push against that opinion.
Well, we see, and when I look at Trevor Lawrence, I look at a better version of Justin Herbert, you know, size, skill, you know, accuracy, arm strength, but also big game. So I consider the competition a lot. You know, I know that's ironic, me coming from a D1AA, talking about I care about the competition. But when I look at Zach Wilson, it's just so unknown. And for every Zach Wilson, you know, or every Justin Herbert who exceeds expectations, we've had those guys that jump up the board, that light up the combine, light up the circuits, you know, afterwards, the Senior Bowls and things like that, and they fizzled out. So it's not a direct science. So, I mean, if you're taking somebody's 2 overall, he better be a yellow jacket, right? Because you anticipate that you're not going to be up there again because he's a franchise-caliber player. We just had this discussion about Sam Darnold at 3, right? We've had this discussion with Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. So, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, Jared Goff, and so far and so on. I've heard Jamarcus Russell, you know, I mean, Ryan Leaf. So I feel like, you know, I just don't have enough information on this kid. I haven't seen him against great competition. He's played during the midst of a pandemic. I don't know if he can handle, like, it would have been great if I would have saw him in a bowl game against a SEC opponent or, you know, ACC opponent, somebody that I respect, and then see if he can get heated up and see how he responds.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, whoever picks him second, is hanging their career on a guy that we know little about. So what is it about him that makes him so special that a general manager is going to be willing to hitch his wagon to this guy and saying that, hey, I'm good right now?
I think, Bart, it's, all your points are absolutely right, by the way. I do think that what we're seeing from teams is that they love the off-platform. You know, I mean, you played linebacker. You were a great one. It's harder to defend a guy where he's moving from a spot. It's harder to hit a moving target, right? And so with Zach Wilson, that's where the people are like, I see some Patrick Mahomes in here because he's throwing, his shoulders are all over the place and his feet are all over the place. And when I started in this business in 2010, that front shoulder or front foot better be pointing to where the ball is going, right? We talked about Drew Bledsoe-like mechanics. You want pocket passers. The game has changed where you want a little bit of backyard football with these guys. And Zach Wilson brings that of also the I believe in my wide receivers. I'm going to chuck the ball 50 yards downfield and believe that my guy is going to make a play. And so the football jumps out of his hand, and he's athletic. He's moving all over the place. I mean, so I do see that. A lot of people want to say this is Patrick Mahomes. I think the question is it Patrick Mahomes or is it Johnny Manziel? Does it translate to the next level? Because he's 6'1", he's 205 pounds.
Yeah,
right? So, like,
slight.
So let's be honest. Like, Manziel's style of football and Patrick Mahomes' style of football aren't that different. It's
right.
Just the one is good at it. One, Mahomes is able to see the field better than anyone I've ever seen play the game and process the information so quickly that he can use that arm strength and the crazy angles and the crazy platforms to get the ball to his playmakers. Manziel was like, I'm going to run around like a chicken with my head cut off in the backfield and then just chuck the ball up, and it didn't work. So I'm not saying Zach Wilson is Johnny Manziel, guys, but we have to – there are – examples of players not being able to succeed with a similar style of play. So you can't just look at it and be like, he's running around for 10 seconds back there, throws the ball up, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's not fair. That's not scouting.
Right. And you're not saying he's Johnny Manziel, but you're not saying he's not. And I think that's really where this discussion
right.
continues. So we're talking with Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. So on that, like that is such, and that's why I kind of reacted when you said it. It's somewhere in between. And that's the scariest thing of all. I know we had you on hold and we were doing this, and I gave you, like, in this century, quarterbacks, the best of the best, the elite quarterbacks of this century since 2000, six of them were in the top 10. Right? Like mm-hmm. it just to me, like, that's – I mean, I'm sorry, not even – no, six of them weren't in the top 10. She's like, four were in the top 10, and only three were top three, and only two were number one. It is, like, to me, that's what I think makes this so precarious, but also what makes deciding it before the draft, like, when we talk about these players, you never know because you don't know where they're going to go. I think that's a big part of it, too. But with that in mind,
part of it.
It's got to be, right? It has to be, and they don't control that. But with that in mind, I'm asking you specifically now about the number two pick, because I think, at least, can we agree, though, that Trevor would go number one? In your mind, right, he's number one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a done deal.
So the draft begins at number two, obviously, and that's where the Jets are. And the Jets have, as Bart mentioned, Sam Darnold, who was a number three pick a couple of years ago, and we're still waiting to see him hit the potential. In your estimation, in your study, and you've been doing this, like you said, for a long time, would the Jets be making a mistake to trade two and keep Sam?
I don't think that it would be a mistake. I do think that the fans would revolt, but so I look at it this. I do think Sam Darnold is – fixable. Now, he may never live up to what we all thought he was going to be coming out of USC, right? That's a different conversation. You have forget those expectations. But is he fixable to where he can become a playoff caliber quarterback? I do think so. To me, the conversation is, what is that number two draft pick worth? Because if you want to call the Carolina Panthers and say, you know what, we're thinking about keeping Sam Darnold, what would you give us for the number two pick? It is going to be a lot. And this is not a roster, the New York Jets, that is one player away from contention. Right. You are not Zach Wilson away from being a playoff team in the AFC East. You're just not. So I think you have to weigh that of, if we trade the number two pick, we also have pick, I think, 23 from the Seattle deal. You mm-hmm. start to package all these picks together, and then you start to look like Indianapolis real quick, who traded from 3 to 6 in 2018.
With the Jets.
So the Jets could go get Sam Darnold. And they were able to then, you know what, we could trade a first-round pick for an all-pro in DeForest Buckner because we've used all these picks in the previous years from that trade down. So I think that's something the Jets have to weigh Sam Darnold against this quarterback class, and they have to weigh the value of the number two overall pick against the value of Sam Darnold. So it's Joe Douglas has a heck of a decision ahead of him. It's not going to be an easy one.
Yeah, for me, Carolina is the only team I want to do business with because, you know, the Falcons moving from 4 to 2 isn't going to be as much compensation, but you're going to get a haul from somebody jumping from 9 or 8 all the way up to 2. That's going to be multiple first-round draft picks, which would give the Jets 3 first-round draft picks at least next year and maybe some extra number twos in which they can package together and try and get Deshaun Watson and then trade Sam Darnold if he plays well this year for number two because I believe that Houston is dug in. But the question I want to ask you, when you broke down Sam Darnold in 2016 and you're breaking down Zach Wilson now, what's the difference in evaluation? Tell everybody, all the listeners, what's the difference and what's the grades that you gave Sam Darnold in 2016 versus what you give Zach Wilson in 2021?
Yeah, Bart, so I try to do this just like an NFL team would, just like the Baltimore Ravens would or the New York Jets would. So I can actually go back and look at, all right, 2017 draft class, what grade, or 2018 draft class, what grade did I give Sam Darnold? I gave him a 7.2. So the nice thing is I can now go and look, what grade did I give Zach Wilson? I gave him a 7.5. So I like Zach Wilson more than I did Sam Darnold at the time. And the reason for that is I think the game has changed where you have to be able to move your legs and score or at least pick up yards that way. I understand Tom Brady doesn't do it a whole lot, but his pocket presence is better than any that we've ever seen. Where the game is going, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, even Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, the best quarterbacks in the NFL, all have to be able to move off their spot. The pass rush is too fast in this day and age. The offensive linemen are not good enough. You have to be able to move off your spot. Zach Wilson does that. He has a stronger arm than Sam Darnold did, but I think there are legitimate questions about, as you said, I've only seen this guy against like Coastal Carolina. When he played Utah, when he played Washington, he got it handed to him. It was a one year, a huge leap in production up to 33 touchdowns. So there are questions that you have to answer. He's also, you know, he's 6'1", 205 pounds. He's had surgery on a throwing hand, surgery on a throwing shoulder. So you have to count in the medical situation as well. Like, okay, do our doctors feel like at his body he's going to be okay for 10 to 12 years? You know, he's a little bit bigger than Kyler Murray, who went number one overall. So there are a lot of questions that do still get factored into this. But I just, on watching the tape alone, Zach Wilson does excite me more than Sam Darnold did.
Well, Sam Darnold has been used to running away from a pass rush. So he looks like, you know, when you right. look at Sam Darnold, he's accustomed. He looks like he's running from Fleece Johnson and scared straight.
Couldn't wait to get that in.
So I think we know Sam. We don't know if Zach Wilson can, but I appreciate you coming on the show. And you're always welcome.
Yeah, Matt, this was fascinating. And before Bart took up that last 30 seconds, I wanted to just ask you just quickly, as you were talking about the 2018 draft versus and then the quarterbacks in this draft, as you know, there could be as many as, what, five going in the top 15, possibly, depending on what teams
right.
do. In comparison, as I guess it's easier now because we're looking back in hindsight, would you say that this one has greater potential than that 2018 class, quarterbacks-wise?
I think so. I do. You know, even the 2018, it felt like there was so much pressure. Guys were reaching for players. Josh Rosen in the top 10, it was like, oh, man, I don't know about that. You know, and so I do think that this year the potential is greater. And I also think that these five quarterbacks this year, they're a little more battle-tested. You know, like Mac Jones, even though we can talk about all the talent he had around him, he had to come in and replace Tua and then carry that team and go through some adversity of being, you know, basically a scout team quarterback. You know, Zach Wilson had to go from – he was told before last year that it was an open quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance having to deal with his season being canceled and replacing a guy like Carson Wentz and Easton Stick, who are both really good at North Dakota State. These dudes have had to really battle through a lot of adversity, and I think that is one thing that's a little different about this class. You know, it's the grind that these guys have had to go through. You know, you could say maybe Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, they've been anointed as these guys for 4 years now. But, you know, I think even dealing with COVID, dealing with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement that both stood up for over the summer, the Let Us Play movement that both stood up for over the summer, they showed their leadership and their character. And so I think this year's class, I would definitely put my stamp on these five over those five, you know, a couple of years ago.
Well, we'll make sure to revisit.
That's a bet. That's a bet.
Yeah, we'll make sure to revisit this 3 years from now, because usually in 3 years of the time,
I got an MVP already.
We decide that. But Matt, hopefully, we'll have you on well before the 3 year period that we have. This was great. We really appreciate you giving us some time here, Matt. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Matt Miller. You can get him at NFL Draft Scout. He's ESPN's draft analyst. Joined us here, and Bart, I thought that was fascinating. Just talking about the quarterbacks in
Josh
this draft
Allen,
coming up,
Baker
especially
Mayfield,
at number
Lamar
two.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but what he said about two, how he talked, that wide range with Zach Wilson. Oh, my God. Again, Matt Miller giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So what do you think about all this? Again, Zach Wilson, is he the Mormon Mahomes or is he the Mormon Manziel? There's some things about him that worry me. And if you're at two, no matter whether you're the Jets or anybody else, if you're at two, do you trade that pick or do you make the pick? What do you do? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Obviously, just getting started. We'll get NBA, a lot of NBA at 1 o'clock because we've got a lot to get into there. We want to get your calls going here. And coming up also, a story for you. Story time. An amazing story from a long time ago that connects Terry Bradshaw to Tom Brady. It's incredible. Wait till you hear it. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Mel projects the Jets to stick with Sam Darnold.
I would lean toward that Sam gets traded and that the second pick is used on Zach Wilson of BYU.
You remember who Sam Darnold was just 4 years ago when you drafted him. He was the can't-miss prospect.
All eyes are on the Jets and Sam Darnold. The outlook is up in the air.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All right, but you heard the last voice you heard there was Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets. He's been covering the Jets since they were called the Titans. It goes all the way back to the 60s. In fact, I think Rich was there when they introduced the franchise. That's how long he's been covering the team. Rich is going to hate me.
He got all the Hess toys.
He has every truck. but he had a tweet this morning. Is trouble brewing with Marcus May? The Jets' safety. May's agent, Eric Burkhart, went to Twitter and just ripping the Jets, saying they refused to take care of their best player, captain, team-voted MVP. And is he worried, I guess, about getting the franchise tag? So, I feel like when you're a safety...
Nothing to see here.
I mean, come on. Now Joe Douglas, the Jets' front office talk today, to the media, Joe Douglas had productive conversations with May's agent. I would think that the agent disagrees with that. So we'll leave it at that. Can I tell you a story? Can we do story time before we grab a couple calls?
Let's do it.
All right, story time. Now I got to find it. So there's a Twitter follow. It's called Quirky Research. So you know it fits me perfectly, right? On this date, 1983. The winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history checked into a Louisiana hospital during an assumed name. Wait, what? In 1983. So the headline is Steelers Tom Brady undergoes arm surgery. That would be Terry Bradshaw.
I was about to say Tom Brady was born. He was 4 years old.
He was 5 years old, yeah. So Terry Bradshaw apparently in 1983 used an alias when he checked into a hospital in Louisiana to get some surgery on muscle tears in his elbow of his throwing arm. And I guess he didn't want anybody to know he was getting a surgery on his throwing arm, right? That would make sense.
This is before TMZ.
So he used the name Tom Brady.
How crazy is that, though?
Actually, he used the name Thomas Brady.
Okay. Tom Brady. Like, where does that come from, though? It's like weird.
This is a real story. Like, I'm reading it. Somebody, they have a, I'm going to use an old term, Xerox copy. They have an actual screenshot of the newspaper from that day. And that's the headline, Shreveport, Louisiana, UPI. And there's the lead is, hiding behind an alias, Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback Terry Bradshaw entered a North Louisiana hospital and underwent minor surgery for muscle tears in the elbow of his throwing arm. During his stay, Bradshaw made rounds in the hospital to visit sick children and, quote, really cheered them up, officials said Tuesday. So he was admitted to the hospital on March 3rd under the name Thomas Brady. And now, of course, there's no reference to Thomas Brady for the rest of the show, rest of the story, because in 1983... Thomas Brady meant nothing in the NFL world. Nothing. He was five. So just how, like, come on. What are the coincidences?
It's crazy.
That Terry Bradshaw.
It would have been better if it was
Super Bowl
Benjamin.
Champ, four times over, uses the name of a just uses his name randomly.
A great
and this guy becomes the all-time winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history. What are the odds?
Right. He replaced the, because at that time, Terry at four was the all-time that winningest quarterback. And now he gave birth to the new king. It's crazy because he, you know, if he, I would have, it would have been a lot funnier to me if it would have been Ben Roethlisberger, because how much he hates and hates Ben Roethlisberger all the time. It's like anything Pittsburgh, I don't know what happened with that relationship, but they need counseling. They need therapy.
Yeah, that's a serious issue. There's certainly no doubt about that. Let's grab a couple of calls here. Let's see. Let's go Jimmy in Florida. Come on, Jimmy.
Man, you really made me sad with that. As a Jets fan, first of all, Mo Lewis is the reason why we even knew Brady. And then you tell me a story that the Louisiana Lightning had like a Nostradamus moment to call up Brady for my Jets. So first of all, I am pleased to talk to Bart. First of all, Bart is one of my favorite players of all time. I've been a Jet fan over 35 years.
Well,
I'm going to tell you, it was a pleasure to have you there. I even have a Ronnie Lott Jet jersey. I'm telling you, if you're there for 1 year and you're loyal, you're in. So thank you. If you're down in Florida, Jacksonville area, look me up. They call me Jimmy Jets. Now, let's see. Number two pick. I am not a Darnold fan now. Obviously, after he was seeing ghosts in that Patriots game, that kind of gave me a lot of pause. My concern is with Zach Wilson is he had arm surgery and he had lack of competition. And then in the biggest game, they solicited to play Coastal Carolina to boost their record to kind of get in the top 10. And he wasn't able to get it done there. So we're not talking about picking him up at like the 11th pick. We're talking about number two.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that if they're not going to pick up the tackle, and it's sad, I think he's a right tackle that would have to, I think he's a left tackle also that would have to be moved
Sewell,
to right.
Yeah, talking about Sewell, but, you know, either
Yeah,
either
that puts us in a bad situation, again, where it's like nothing ever fits for the Jets. I mean, he's the perfect offensive lineman to pair up, but then we want him to play out of position in the beginning.
Well,
Zach Wilson looks like you got.
No, most guys come in. I don't know if you noticed or not, but Jonathan Ogden played left guard when he came into the league. So often they do that anyway. And Becton has played right tackle as well, and they'll battle that out. You know, I'm still hoping that they trade for Orlando Brown Jr. I'm still hoping they trade for
him. I heard about that. What do you think about that? You think that would be great for us?
I mean, he's only 23 years old. He's been to the Pro Bowl twice, and, you know, he's familiar with Joe Douglas and the Ravens, you know, being a Raven. He's familiar with Joe Douglas. But for me, I'm just thinking that why hurry up and even make a decision? Because you can kick the can down the road and see if Sam Darnold was the guy. You don't have to pick up his option. But, you know, if you move down with Carolina number eight, that's going to cost him a couple of first-round draft picks. So that means you'll have three next year. So if Deshaun Watson's available, if Russell Wilson's available, you have three first-round draft picks to offer a team in 1 year. So, you know, it's still a lot of different scenarios. Let's just see how Joe Douglas decides to play the game.
Jimmy Jett, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for holding it down there in Jacksonville as well. And you know, Bart, I have to just quickly, because you brought up the Orlando Brown thing, when we talked about that last week, and that was we put that on social media, I couldn't believe how many Jets fans were like, why would you do that because you have Mekhi Becton? And it's like, well, the reasoning is you can move Becton to right tackle, which is what he played mostly in college.
And he's heavy-handed. Like, you want your heavy-handed run guy. You want your heavy-handed run guy because your tight end goes there. So just imagine Becton and a tight end mashing the end. And guess what Orlando Brown Jr. does great? He pulls. He's a pulling tackle. So you bring him over there. That's why Lamar Jackson is always running through, not getting touched, and the running back's running through because he pulls all the time.
All right, you're explaining it with intelligence when football acumen.
That's true.
What I'm saying is that the fan reaction was, but why would we want to now make Becton feel bad because he's no longer a left tackle and you're making him play right tackle and now he can't get paid as a left tackle and now you're going to cause animosity and why would you do something like that?
Can I ask the fan something? Do you think Michael Strahan cared because he played left defensive end opposed to right defensive end against the best tackles? Did you think he cared about
that? A left tackle gets paid a lot more than a right tackle.
Listen, Orlando Brown will play whatever side you want him to play. As long as you pay him as a tackle. He knows he's not going to be there with the Ravens because they just paid Ronnie Stanley $100 million. If he come over here, you can give him whatever you want. And you can have two of the best tackles. You will have two of the best tackles in the game. And then you go out and you get a guard? Are you kidding me? You talking about that line can rival the one that had Nick Mangold at the center, had Alan Faneca, DeBrickershaw Ferguson, it had Damon Woody, and it had Brandon Moore. Like, you talking about putting ground and pound. You guys want to go back to the glory days? Well, how did the glory days work? It worked because they had the best offensive line in the game. You needed 4 yards, you needed 2 yards, not a problem. Mark Sanchez had play action for days. Why? Because you had to respect the run, because guess who led the league in rushing? Thomas Jones. Not LaDainian Tomlinson, not Adrian Peterson. Thomas Jones led the league in rushing. That's why you go out and you get the tackle and you say, hey, Brandon Sheriff, guess what? You want to be a part of this, baby? You want to be part of the best line in the game?
Yeah, we turning
stuff
around.
With that Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan running game, are you kidding me? Like, if you put those guys at the offensive line, I want you to go look at the San Francisco line and see who has the better line at that point with the most heavy-handed dude since Jonathan Ogden or Willie Rolfe.
And all you have to think about, and we'll finish with this, is that why did things go wrong for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Because their offensive line was not what it had been because of injuries and everything else. All right, it's Barton Hahn, brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. We'll get more calls, right? Let's do that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also, we'll hear from a pioneer in sports. Mm. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN
Plus. That's like a discoverer, right? A big dude.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, as we do breaking moves, Amy Trask, a pioneer in football, obviously an executive with the Raiders for a very long time, and somebody that you know very well, and as it's Women in History Month, Bart, it's somebody that you cited as somebody, an inspiration to you for the things that she has done to break the glass ceiling when it comes to moving up in the NFL. And she was on KJZ this morning and asked directly if there has been enough progress, as we've seen women officials, we're seeing women on coaching staffs. Obviously, there's women in broadcasting covering these games as well. Is there enough progress in the hiring of women in the NFL? Take a listen.
My perspective is a bit different than the perspective of others because I started in the league so long ago. You will have umpteen listeners and that weren't even born when I started my career in the NFL. And the reason I note that is while there hasn't been enough progress and while we shouldn't stop trying and working and attempting to make greater progress until these issues are solved, there certainly has been progress since I started in the league. I started with the Raiders in the mid-80s, early part of the mid-80s, and there wasn't even a discussion of women in the NFL, of diversity, of the need for diversity and inclusiveness. So has there been progress? Absolutely. Does there need to be more? Absolutely.
I think that's fair. I think you're right pretty much at that point. There has been progress. But as with anything, there probably could be more and should be.
Yeah, and you have to give Al Davis a lot of credit and also Art Rooney for what they've been able to do in hiring minority head coaches and also allowing a woman to be the CEO of your team back in the 80s. That's trailblazing.
Again,
stuff.
Let's not use the word allowing. It's the idea of choosing to do that.
Well,
and
choosing.
And seeing that you could have that someone could have success in doing it. And that was very important for Amy to do. So it was an important story certainly for us to share. As we move on in the conversation, let's get to the NBA because there's
more.
A lot happening. We're gonna go buffet in the NBA. Coming up next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.